Thanks for inviting me into your home. Long-haul truck, RV, camper, taxi, your parents' basement, your loft, that greasy spoon just off the interstate, and your cabin in the woods. I'm Richard Serrett. Welcome to Coast AM, the best in late-night radio. And tonight, this morning, we're coming to you live from Coast's Toronto affiliate, In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010. The notion that Hollywood is a den of inequity, a den of iniquity, a land of decadence and excess, it's pretty much taken for granted, a cliché. But what if the truth is darker, much darker? Is it possible the rumors are true? Tinseltown is controlled by a satanic cult. Was the late film director Stanley Kubrick trying to tell us something with his last movie, Eyes Wide Shut, the 1999 erotic mystery psychological drama in which the lead character embarks on a night-long adventure during which he infiltrates a massive masked orgy of an unnamed secret society? Kubrick, of course, died 6 days after showing his final cut to Warner Brothers. Coming up in hours one and two, L.A.-based psychic medium Sloane Bella returns to the program to share her personal experiences in Hollywood and why she believes satanic cults are real and why embracing the dark side and selling one's soul is the bargain needed to ensure superstardom in Hollywood. In hours three and four, several months ago, Don Jeffries was on the program to discuss his massive new book, Crimes and Cover-Ups in American Politics, 1776 to 1963. It's an impressive and sprawling work examining or re-examining almost 200 years of American history. For far too long, Don writes, American history has been left in the unreliable hands of those he refers to as the court historians. Crimes and Cover-Ups in American Politics fights back by scrutinizing the accepted history of everything from the American War of Independence to the establishment reputation of Thomas Jefferson and the other founding fathers, the Civil War, the Lincoln assassination, both world wars, U.S. government experimentation on prisoners, mental patients, innocent children, and whole populated areas, the Lindbergh baby kidnapping, and much, much more. Secular saints like Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, and Franklin D. Roosevelt are examined in a critical way that seldom have been. Don spares no one and nothing in this explosive new book. The atrocities of Union troops during the Civil War and Allied troops during World War II are documented in great detail. The Nuremberg trials are presented as the antithesis of justice. In the follow-up to his previous best-selling book, Hidden History, an expose of modern crimes, conspiracies, and cover-ups in American politics, Don demonstrates that crimes, corruption, and conspiracies didn't start with the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Well, he's back for part two, and we'll pick up where we left off, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. We'll discuss the Reconstruction period and hopefully get as far as the creation of the Federal Reserve Bank in 1913. Not to worry. I'll carve out some time for you to call in with questions and comments for both guests. Welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Come on in, weary traveler, hang your cloak on a peg, grab a stool, and come gather round the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. I'm Richard Serrett, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Why don't you stay a while? Sloane Bella is a psychic medium, trained astrologer, a modern-day metaphysician, and the mother of two boys. She began her career on the streets of Toronto, working with missing and exploited children. She was born in Toronto and was given up for adoption at birth but remained in foster care for the first 10 months of life until she was adopted into a well-established and business-minded family, which allowed Sloane temporary stability while exploring the paranormal world that was exploding into her existence. By the age of 4, Sloane learned to articulate nightly visits by otherworldly beings and the spirits of those people who had crossed over, including Jimi Hendrix. This was how she began to develop her ability to act as a conduit and to speak the different frequencies that exist around us. Astrology was introduced to Sloane via a charm necklace from a cousin in England. By the age of 7, her lifelong passion for astrology began and continues. Sloane Bella, welcome back to Coast AM. How are you?
I'm good, Richard. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you. How many years were you living on the streets in Toronto as a runaway?
On and off for about 3 years. I say on and off because I lived in different houses, different apartments. We'll call them flop houses. So I went in and out, and then I went into foster care for about 8.5 months and then was back out again because, you know, I was a runner. I still am a runner, but a different kind of a runner back then. So, yeah, on and off for about 3 years.
And was it because you're a sensitive, because you're psychic? Is that what made it difficult for you to settle in with a family and resulted in you living on the streets?
Yes and no. It's kind of twofold. There was a lot of abuse issues in the home and a lot of addiction issues. So those, you know, you're always going to have a reaction to that. If you're at all sane, you're not going to like that. And the fact that I was very sensitive, so you get called crazy. So when you're called crazy, who cares what you do, right? So it was that kind of interaction. Because kids that are sensitive, if they are raised by parents who are unaware of it or don't understand it and maybe think you're mentally ill because you're adopted or different or you're the different one in the family, even if you're not adopted, those kids will feel trauma because there is no one to explain to them what's going on. My kids have the same abilities in different ways, but I was here to explain to them this is what's going on. I still think that they're crazy at times, but not to the same degree. I understand what's happening when they say and see things when they were little. I get what's going on.
And how old were you? How old were you when you went to Los Angeles?
I was 19, turning 20.
And was it? What were you seeking? Fame and fortune?
I think you know what I. If I told you this, you'd probably laugh. I just always knew I had to go to California. It was something in my head since I was little. I probably could say I wanted to do something in entertainment, although I really had no skills. So that was, it's not like I could sing or dance or act. In fact, I was quite a poor actress, so that wouldn't have flown very far. And I just knew I came here. Besides, it was very sunny. So I, you know how Toronto is, Richard, you're there. So it's very cold, so it was very warm here. But yeah, I like the entertainment industry. And when I came here, that I didn't know anybody, so I kind of just came into town and did whatever I could to stick around, like most people do at that time.
Right. And as a sensitive, as a psychic, did you immediately start to get a certain vibe, let's say a negative vibe about Hollywood in particular?
Hollywood in particular, yes. Actually, the city of Hollywood, which is actually, you know, where the Hollywood Walk of Fame is. Yeah, it was very precarious for me when I first got here. I found the energy of the people, I don't want to say they lived on the street, but they were the people that would draw your caricatures on the street, the people that would sell things on the street to the tourists. That actually really frightened me. Not for my own safety. I didn't think anybody was going to do anything to me, but the energy off of these people was almost as if it was hidden and cloaked, and so there was always double meaning behind what they were doing. So if they stopped you and said, hey, I can draw your picture for, say, $10, there was always another meaning behind it. I could kind of feel that they were observing people that were walking by to see what they could and couldn't do. And as the culture was at the time, I got here in just the beginning of 1986, and the culture at the time was not like it is now. It's much different now, much worse, actually. But at that time, there were many kids walking the streets with their knapsacks and they're, you know, traveling around, kids hitchhiking to Venice, stuff like this. And I started to hear things from these kids on the street that I would talk to. I actually stayed, it's on Selma Street, and it's across from the post office, but it was the YMCA back then. It is not now. It's some kind of a club. Can't remember the name. Anyway, I stayed there, and I think I paid like $25 a night or every two nights or something, and I shared a room. And so I got to meet a lot of people on the street, and I started to hear about kids that were working the streets and that kind of thing and what was going on in those cars, and industry people that were actually picking up these underage kids, some of them closer to age, but most of them really not. And I started to hear rumors going on all over the place. So I kept names. And keep in mind, in Toronto, there were people I ran into in Toronto all the way up through Fort Erie and into New York. You know, I was always running around. So I ran into very famous names during the time of people who were partaking in what I thought back then. Now, I was aware of certain cultures and certain religions that were not Christian, we'll say, many different kinds of religions, which is okay because there's always a counterbalance on earth. So we have Catholicism, Judaism, Buddhism, Christianity, and we have Luciferianism, and we have other, you know, ritual type of religions, and they're equal in that you have free will and you can pursue these. However, I heard and saw things that took it a little bit farther than that, only I don't know that I believed it at the time fully. I believed part of it and had witnessed some of it as a child growing up, but had kind of put it out of my head, not in my home, but actually by accident in a neighborhood. When I came to Hollywood, there was many of these stories. And in particular, there were people that you wouldn't expect. And at that time, there were comedians running around, and I won't say which ones, but there were some very, very well-known comedians who were notorious for this type of...
Did you say comedians or Canadians?
Comedians.
Comedians.
Canadians too, but comedians. Yeah, you know, funny people.
Right. Well, when you say this funny type of activity, what... I mean, it is a G-rated show, but just give us a sense without getting too graphic of what was going on. What did you hear about?
Well, I couldn't understand for... I mean, I always knew the world was run by Satanists and pedophiles. Honest to God, this was out of my mouth as a kid. By the time I was 10, I would say this to people who just probably rolled their eyes and thought I was some kind of strange child. But nonetheless, in Hollywood, I would hear from these kids. I got invited to a lot of parties in the beginning. I was, you know, cute and whatever, and got invited to a lot of parties. And I would hear about certain things that would go on, and it involved younger people, and it involved certain types of, I'll use the word prayer, which was really ritual. Now, in religions like Santeria, or what we consider more of the occult type of religions, where people use the calendar of the moon or they use astrology, all of these things are considered occult. However, there's different meanings for occult. Okay, just because astrology is considered a cult doesn't mean everyone who does astrology is out there trying to conjure up stuff to make it happen.
Right. It just means hidden. It means hidden knowledge, right? A cult is hidden knowledge.
Exactly. Correct. So, yeah, I mean, because when you say you do, sometimes people take it very literally, like, oh, my God, you're awful. You do astrology, or you read tarot cards, or you're psychic. And it's not quite like that. Obviously, anything can be taken to one extreme or the other. But I started to hear about people that were kids, especially that were being younger kids, not early teens up until 20, kind of kids getting drugged and used during these rituals, which I thought was just perversion at the time. I remember thinking these were just people with a lot of money who were bored and needed something to do or couldn't figure out what to do. And I started to realize it was such a trend. I heard it constantly from different people. I heard it from people that were hairdressers. I heard it from waitresses. I heard it from strippers. I heard it from cab drivers back in the day when the cab drivers before Uber were out. I heard it from, you know, older people. I heard it from neighbors. I heard it all over the place and didn't quite put it together with what I've put it together with now. I heard bits and pieces and fragments, and it always scared me because there was always drugs involved to the point where the person was unaware of exactly what was going on during the time that they were doing the drugs. So it wasn't just like, I'll smoke a joint or have a drink and it'll be okay. It was to the extreme where these people were 2 and 3 days out of commission with no idea what was going on.
So are you saying that you're talking about pedophilia as some sort of a satanic ritual?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
But now, again, I mean, we've heard about these rumors, and I mentioned Stanley Kubrick's film Eyes Wide Shut, which wasn't about that in particular. I mean, it wasn't about pedophilia, but it was about,
satanic cult. In midway through the film, the Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman character, they give their daughter away. They watch their daughter walk off with the two men.
I'll have to rewatch that. It's been 20 years.
I know, right? In the toy store. They are doing it in the movie. In fact, they are doing that in order to gain favor within their circle of like-minded people, which now I want to draw a distinction because I have a lot of clients, not a lot. I have several clients. I have more clients that are Catholic than anything, Buddhist, Catholic, Jewish, but I do have clients that are Luciferian and they don't all partake in what we would consider the negative aspects of that, just like not all people in other religions partake in the extreme side of it. So there's always balance. And I have personally, I'll read anybody and have no objection to what your faith is if you believe in whatever it is, because I think it's your right. And a lot of them tell me the reason that they pick that religion, and they do call it a religion, so I respect that on their behalf. But the reason that they pick it is because it's freedom, as opposed to the religions that we have as Catholics, or I'll say it myself, as Catholics, we are bound by certain rules and regulations, I guess. And the Luciferians, my clients that say this, feel that they're more free to act under their own conscience, I guess, and to be responsible for their own actions. So it's more of a freedom type of thing, according to them. Now, I don't follow the practice, so I don't really know if that's true, but according to them, that's where they're coming from. And you have the right to believe in any which way, and there is always counterbalance to it. But in that movie, Eyes Wide Shut, if you want to bring that up, and I will bring up Nicole Kidman only because it's been printed in the paper, but she's very familiar with that, and that's why she was picked for that film. She was apparently, according to the information that you can research, raised in a cult, satanic cult family. Her father, as you know, maybe you don't know, but her father was actually brought up on charges and died out of the country. So it was interesting that she was picked for that film. Very interesting, because it goes on and these kids and people are groomed. But there's a difference, what I started to say, between people who are just following a religion because it appeals to them in some way. And then there is the cult aspect of it. Okay. So the group that takes it to the extreme,
right,
that becomes cult-like or the definition of what we consider a cult.
So you have mainly celebrity clients, correct?
I have normal people. I'm not normal people. Not
normal people. Okay.
Your words, not mine. I know, right? Oh, God, I'm going to get a bunch of hate mail now. No, I have non-celebrities and celebrity clients in all walks of the industry, absolutely.
Right. But some of your celebrity clients, you're saying, and we won't mention names, are Luciferians.
Yeah, quite a few. I mean, not the majority, but more than I would expect.
Suspect, I mean, some of them, I mean, these clients that come to you, do you get a vibe off of some of them that maybe they're going a little further into Luciferianism than they should?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll tell you how it hit me. I couldn't figure it out for the longest time. When I read somebody and they sit down, of course, you're not always going to be 100% right, but there is a texture to their energy and a vibrancy. So it's like putting on a cashmere sweater or an itchy wool sweater or a cotton shirt. Each person has a feel to them, and I can really kind of absorb myself into their energy. So I get a feel for the person. And
have
what
you
I
ever...
noticed...
Okay, we'll take a quick time out here. We're going to step away for a moment. Sloan Bella stays with us. Psychic medium to the stars, talking about satanic cults in Hollywood. Welcome back. Say hello on Twitter, at Richard Serrett. S-Y, because I love you, R-E-T-T. A bizarre winged creature with pulsing tentacle-like appendages was recently filmed in the home of a Bali resident, Hari Toe, who seemed to take the appearance of the alien-like critter in stride, said, "I'll let it stay in my house, but only for the night," he declared. "It's not something I've seen before. I don't think it comes from this neighborhood." Well, you can judge for yourself what this strange winged creature with pulsing tentacle-like appendages might be. You can see the video for yourself in the Highlights Carousel up at coasttocoastam.com. More of my conversation with psychic medium to the stars, Sloan Bella, as we talk about satanic Hollywood, right here on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Sloan Bella, psychic medium to the stars. So, Sloan, just to be, I want to be very black and white and clear about this. You're saying that Satan, the devil, is real, correct?
Yes, but not in the way that you're trying, not in the way that they portray it in the movies. I'm laughing because I know what people are thinking. They're thinking like a, you know, hairy, fire-breathing, hoofed, winged type of energy. Let me explain it a little bit differently. In order to get your soul, if I am therefore the devil, Satan, Lucifer, I need to cajole you into doing it. I just can't be a smelly, disgusting, vile entity, you know, that breathes fire on you and scares you. I have to bring you in with those things that you want on this level of energy that we live in human form.
Oh, but my understanding of Satan is a Lucifer. I mean, he's attractive. He's charismatic.
Yes.
Right. He's
and,
not, you know, a cloven hoofed.
He's not one energy. He's not one energy. He is a combination. In other words, there are many that work on behalf. It's very Venetian in energy. In other words, it's entertainment. It's money. It's beauty. It's sex. It's good food. It's probably everything the Roman Empire was, actually, if you think about it, right?
So right. Well, no, that's true. I think of Hollywood. I think of the last days of Rome, to be sure.
Yeah.
But so
exactly.
And so that there are people in positions of great power in Hollywood who
absolutely
worship Satan, and can we go so far as to say perhaps give up blood sacrifices to Satan?
Of 100%. And these people, let me word it to you this way. It's not everybody in the entertainment industry, obviously. Not everything is everybody. However, those people, and this is what I was trying to explain earlier, there is an energy to them where it's very nice, dressed well, looks well, smells good. Everything is presentable and pleasant and very God bless you type of energy. And you cannot feel the core of the person, the humanity. You can't feel it. You can't get in there. And I'm talking about the people that extend the experience into evil, what I consider evil. You're not going to feel the evil unless they've been completely taken over. What you're going to feel is the facade. So there is a facade. It is like a great Shakespearean actor going on stage in a costume and presenting themselves one way and taking off their wig and their makeup and walking in sweatpants down the street. There's a difference, and you're not able to feel it. But a lot of these people are what we call handlers, okay? So you can call them managers, you can call them agents, you can call them anybody. But what their goal is, and this is part of the cult mentality of the satanic ritual, okay? Not the people who are just doing their own thing. I'm not talking about those people because not everybody does it. I'm talking about the actual Hollywood, and I'm going to call it a satanic cult. The people involved in that, they are people who see the commodity. So what is a commodity? A commodity is a singer, an actor, a person who can perform and draw an audience with which to garner income. Because what is the highest form of reward on this planet? It is money. That's what we're all going for. I mean, not everybody, but when we're born, we're taught, you know, go to school, make a good living. Your kids can do this. You can get, you know, whatever you want. You can travel. So we're all on that little hamster wheel. The difference is most of us are not willing to do anything to get there. Now, here's something, because a lot of people think the entertainers are the ones that are looking for the fame so badly that they approach and sell their soul. And I'm going to tell you a story about a rap group currently, a young rap group, actually, that's up and coming, and I won't say their names. But anyway, I'll go around that. But what happens is if you are talented and you have a God-given talent, so you are born with a voice, you can sing, you are an artist, you are a dancer, you are a writer, and you have these abilities, you can only get so far until they come for you. If you don't play ball, you're not getting into the club. And by club, I mean cult, okay?
What do you mean by play ball? What do you mean, Sloan, by play ball?
If you don't partake in what they do, which is based on handling you, blackmailing you in order to keep you under control. Now, what I mean by that is, let's say you're a guy actor, and let's say you like 15-year-old girls. Well, that's illegal. But let's say you like them. Let's say you're coming up and people like you and you're really faint, you're getting on the fame train and you're about to pursue certain things. They've got to control you because they want you to do, because it's all about money and energy, okay? Human beings have the energy. Part of the satanic cult is other entities coming in, which is why I said Lucifer tends to work with groups of energy, which we'll call entities, or beings that are looking for human beings or human bodies with which to attach to in order to live and feel in the earth's energy vibration, okay, which is closer to hell than it is to heaven. That's why God doesn't step in and stop it. I am asked that all the time because he expects us human beings to step up, speak, and stop, but we're too busy worried about paying our bills that we get off track. Anyway, long story short. What happens with these entertainers is as they start to climb to get famous, they are put in positions of power. They are put in places where they will screw up. So let's say someone's a coke addict and likes those 15-year-old girls. They're going to put him at a party with a bunch of cocaine and a bunch of underage girls, get him high, offer him a girl. He's going to think he's safe because he's in some executive's house partying. They're going to tape him, record him, put it on film, have people watch it. And in fact, they do that with the young female actresses. And then from that point on, they have something on you. You are going to do what they say. You're going to push what they want you to push, do the films they want you to do, and allocate your money. Now, you remember, oh my God, I just forgot his name. Randy Quaid. Do you remember Randy Quaid? Do you remember
when he
took off to Canada to escape?
Yes, he claimed that people were trying to kill him. Yes.
Yeah, he wasn't wrong. A friend of mine was actually one of the first lawyers that was handling that case, and he wasn't wrong. He called them star whackers. What he was trying to say, way ahead of his time actually, was that when you are a commodity and you have money and you won't partake in these things, they are going to ruin you and take your assets. That's what this is about, truthfully.
So okay, but Sloan, you don't necessarily need, you don't need to be involved in a satanic cult to do that. I mean, that horrible way of doing business exists, I'm sure, in Washington, D.C., in politics and elsewhere.
Yes.
I mean,
I'm sorry, you're trying to get me going on the politics now.
Well, what I'm suggesting is, how does Satan enter into this? Because, I mean, isn't that just human depravity?
Okay, yes, that part is, but take it a step farther. In order, okay, to keep you in line and to give you that income with which you've become accustomed. So let's say you've made a couple million doing your movies and now you've got a house and you've got two kids and your wife wants a boob job and whatever. You have all of this stuff. They have to actually embed you more into the circumstance so that they can keep you going. In other words, it's a form of slavery. And the way that they believe they can gain this power, I'm talking about the handlers and the indoctrinated people at this point, is by doing certain ritualistic things. And no one believes you when you're saying this, but we have a whole bunch of kids that go missing every year, trafficked, sex trafficked people, let alone underage minor kids. I think to the tune, I don't even want to quote that. I was going to say like 400,000 kids go missing a year, but I won't quote that because I haven't looked up the statistics for this year. But all of these kids are going missing, and they believe in ritually sexualizing the kids, and it has to do with sodomy and their blood and their adrenal gland. I'm sure you've heard about andochrome and how it makes you youthful. Yeah, I mean, this is what they're doing. Once you do that once, you're in that circle. So it is what it is, it's not just money there. It is a power energetic thing that is going on. So they are harnessing energy, they believe. Now, I'm not saying it is or isn't. They are harnessing energy from their mindset in order to control more of their environment in this level of existence where we are currently. What is going on right now, the reason it's coming to the forefront and people are actually starting to believe it and starting to see it, is because the veil is splitting. The earth is actually cracking. I'm talking energetically. It might be cracking actually physically too, but I'm talking specifically with the energy, and we are raising dimensionally. So we cannot bring that energy upwards. It has to stay in a lower vibration, and it is actually a spiritual war. But the war and the commodity in this instance is the children, and the children are youth, because what is youth? Youth is creative. Youth has energy. Youth is innocent, and that's what they're corrupting, and that is what's used in the ritual. That is what's used. If you take a religion like Santa Ria, where they use animals in ritual, that's one thing, and people seem to accept that. There's a whole bunch of people that do Santa Ria and think that it's fine in a full moon to sacrifice an animal for more money, for whatever, and no one bats an eye. I mean, I would bat an eye, but you know, people in Santa Ria just think that this is normal behavior for their ritual practice. If you go backwards in time and you go back to medieval or way, way back, hundreds of thousands of years ago, children were sacrificed back then. They were given to gods. They were given for reasons. They were given to protect family members. So you would give your child up to a god. You would give them, you would put them in a fire. There were children all the time. It is the children and the innocence. It is actually the opposite of what you're taught God is in its reverse, and that's what they're trying to do. So it's an inversion of principle. And that's
Have you had clients that have told you about this, that this is going on?
I actually have, and it goes back to, I want to say 83. I want to say 1983. Hopefully I'm not wrong in that time frame. Started, and I'll give you a hint without naming the person's name, but he was a musician. He was in upstate New York at the time, and he had a really cool song called Super Freak. That's all I'm saying, without giving him away. Anyway, at a party at his...
that pretty much gives him away. I think we know who it is, but anyway,
yes,
he's no longer with us.
He's no longer with us. He's in spirit. And I don't really know where he is because I haven't picked up on him, but... At that time, I was invited into a party with another girl. We went in there, and I started to see the beginning of that and the sexual ritual that he was involved in, and eventually would be arrested for kidnapping that woman and keeping her as a sex slave. But I saw bits and pieces of that going back to, it was either 83 or 84. I can't really remember. Somewhere in the mid-80s, before 85, though. I was very young, and I started to see this. Like, I was witness to it for 3 days, and I was like, okay, I don't really understand what's going on. I just thought it was perversion. I didn't really realize. But looking back on it, I'm like, I understand it, because he had said certain things about being and trying to do this, and he was open about it, but I don't think I understood fully. I was just really young. But I started to see it. So, yeah, I saw things like this, and there's people There's actually, I'll give you another person here in Hollywood without giving her away. I think she's an easy giveaway. Very beautiful star in the 80s, television star, beautiful, golden looks, just such pretty blue eyes. This girl is also somebody, now she's hit a lot of hard times recently, but she is also somebody who wouldn't think twice about allowing people to, how do I want to say it, sexualize children around her, even though she is a female, and I don't think women should allow this. She thought nothing of it. It was just something that was accepted by her mindset, and that might get you into the whole thing where she was raised in a family like that, and it was MK Ultra mind control, and so she didn't really understand it herself. There could be something said for that. But there are many people that get where they're going, and these executives know it. That's why they keep their people. Have you ever wondered? Actually, watch TV, watch music videos, and ask yourself. Ask yourself why Eminem or, what's his name? Oh, any of the rappers, Eminem, what's his name that was on The Voice? Adam Levine, why they're always putting themselves in, like, baths and blood baths, what they're doing. Because if these people are truly creative in the way that everybody is trying to convince us that these people are creative genius, why are they all doing the same thing at one point or another during their career in their videos? What does it represent? And if you start to research what it represents, you begin to see that they are involved in ritual and they are performing it for the masses. They are doing it to the masses. This is what they're doing.
But how much of that? How much of that is they're just playing up on that whole stereotype? Because, you know, rock and roll went through this phase, you know, in the early 70s with certain bands, you know, Black Sabbath and Alice Cooper, you know, the godfather of shock rock. The idea was because they were the bands that our parents hated. And they played up on that, but when you got to know these people, that you know, they were nothing like that. It was just part of a charade. Isn't that maybe what's going on with a lot of these videos as well?
I'm sure some of it is, but I will ask you this, okay? Well, I will really ask you this: if you are a creative person, which you are, and you are creating content with which to be seen, why are you copying everybody else? Number one. What is that? Okay, because I'm not going to do that because you all did it. So if I'm a musician, I'm not going to do, you know, the satanic baptism, the ritual, the bath ritual on the cover of an album just to be like you so that I have no individuality. That's the first thing. The second thing is I think a lot of them may think that they're just playing the game with it. And to quote pretty much everyone I've ever talked to who understands this field probably way better than I do. I just got it from people I deal with. These people who research it, the biggest trick the devil ever played was making people think it doesn't exist and that you can't really sell your soul. Now, you can't really sell your soul as in it belongs to God. However, on the earth plane, you can agree to do that. And once you open the door, your soul is out in the astral level, and there is something attached to you, being you. So until you can find your way back home, you are not in the presence of your energy. So in fact, your soul has been taken over. But that's on this level, you see? So people are making a huge mistake about that, because what happens here is different than on the other side, but how do you get to the other side if you've given away what's here? People don't understand that, and so they don't think it's real.
All right. When we come back, Sloan, I'm going to ask you whether you've ever been tempted to join a satanic cult, whether, you know, they've dangled success and fame and riches in front of your nose. We'll do that on the other side.